dawn with Sunkist Charters. Come and sail with us on a 37-foot endeavor out in the Gulf of Mexico. Up to six people, $100 an hour, three-hour minimum. You can split it between each other. Pet-friendly, bring your own food, drinks, restrooms on board. Make it a memory maker. Call 727-871-7788 or call 727-315-4936. SunkistCharters.com. We'll see you out at the Gulf of Mexico.
Breathe in that feeling of summer again at Ocean Air Himalayan Salt Caves in Orleans. Relax in your own private salt cave. Unwind in zero-gravity chairs surrounded by relaxing music and enjoy the natural therapy discovered in European salt mines for over 100 years. Detox your body and relax your mind at Ocean Air. 35204 U.S. Highway 19N in Palm Harbor or call 727-754-3979. Plan your escape today. Visit OceanAirHimalayanSaltCave.com.
Looking to cool off in the summer or turn up the heat in the winter? Then head over to Clearwater Ice Arena, Tampa Bay Skating Academy Oldsmar, or TBSA Countryside. With three locations in the Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy a wide range of hockey and figure skating activities and programs. We offer youth and adult pickup hockey and leagues, skate, shoot, freestyle, and public skating times throughout the day, so you will want to come back again and again. It's fun for the whole family. And don't forget to schedule your next birthday party or private event with us. Visit TampaBayIce.com for more information.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. We have an amazing show on Hollywood Connections today. Oh, my gosh. I just want to introduce everybody, and then I have to play something in a second. We have this beautiful lady to my right, and you are actually helping manage your son. And introduce your son and all the amazing things that he's done.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's Jimmy Bush Jr. I hope I don't say anything too embarrassing.
I'm right here.
He'll correct you.
Yeah.
He decided that he wanted to to be able to sing professionally on stage. And he's been singing since he was four. Just little things at home, you know.
Right.
And after he got home from college and he was looking for something to do, he wanted to sing. So we started out at... A gentleman by Jeff Legess offered him an opportunity to sing at the Largo Cultural Center.
Okay.
And then from there we went to Lakeland Country Club, and then through there we met George. And it was history for us from there. George gave us New York and a lot of valuable connections, and through that Jimmy got to go play in Vegas. So.
Well, and you opened for how many different people? Crystal Gayle?
Crystal Gayle, Pia Zadora, Tracy Lawrence. I've done a couple of things with Tony Bennett's guitar player, and a couple other little things. But overall, I try to keep the spectrum diverse about what I do.
Okay.
A little bit of everything.
Wow. Before we start, I always have this joke after Halloween, but I have to give a shout out to the Jolly Trolley in Clearwater Beach. Mike on air at... if he calls in. If he doesn't, I'm going to just shout it out. We went on the South Tour a couple weeks ago, and it's not just a haunted tour, of course. It's a Jolly Trolley haunted historical tour. So you're learning a lot about the history of Florida at Clearwater. And the North one, we went last night. And so thank you, Mike, so much. It was amazing. And check out their website on Jolly Trolley, because they have a big Christmas event coming up with the trolleys that go into the subdivisions. It's truly phenomenal for Christmas. So before we start the interview and your music, I always do this right after Halloween. So this, everybody laughs at me. They say, Dawn, you're playing Christmas music. Yes, I am. I'm one of those people. It's like the pumpkin spice for fall. We'll be right back. We're back, and you can listen to that on your Pandora in the car, right?
Yeah, after we just heard it here.
Exactly. So tell us what song we're going to play.
I believe it's Am I That Easy to Forget?
Okay. And did you write that?
No, it's one of my covers.
Okay.
One of many, but it's one of the few that I've actually released onto Spotify and all sorts of stuff.
Okay, and before we go, where can they hear your music? I mean, where can they buy it? Your website?
They could find me on Jimmy Bush Jr.
Okay.
For the singing, and they could find me on any platform, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud.
I just want to say a thing. It's Jimmy, J-I-M-M-I-E.
Yes.
So most people would spell it the other way, so they have to know the correct way to spell it to find them.
Yes. And we're going to come back with Fran at 8:30 about it. You're going to be amazed as
Thank
well.
You.
And they knew each other.
We knew each other through my friend George Bettinger, who I knew since third grade. And George was like, he did impersonations. He was a stand-up comic. He had his own show called The Mom and Pop Show. And George met Jimmy. And then he said, Franny, you're in New York. You know, I'm going to bring this guy Jimmy in here. We should all go see him. And we all did. We gave him a big support system. And then we took him to the Friars Club. And then he performed at the Friars Club. And from then he got the total. Yeah, what are you pushing me off the stage here? What are you doing here? I'm talking to you. I'm using your mic. You're pushing me around, lady. You know what? I don't even know you that well, but you're pushing me off. Okay. So anyway, so that's when they talk about George. That's what we're talking about. And then the thing with Jimmy is, first of all, well, this is cool that people can see him because you see he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
So that helps because if you have somebody doing a real sexy voice and you look at them and you're like, yeah, put a bag over his head. That doesn't work too good. So the fact that he's a good-looking guy and he sings like that, that's why he gets booked at all these places, because his talent and his looks and everything is a nice complete package. And then mom over there makes sure that everything is handled good.
I love it.
By the way, my name is Fran Capo.
She'll be on. She's here with us. And what impresses me, you thank you for letting me know about him, because you're the one that told me about him. Okay, so let's go to that song. And what is it called again?
Am I That Easy to Forget?
Am I That Easy to Forget?
Who's the original?
Wow.
Carl Ballou.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was the one that wrote it.
We'll be right back. Enjoy.
They say you found somebody new, but that won't stop my loving you. I just can't let you walk away. Forget the love I had for you. Yes, I could find somebody new, but I don't want no one but you. How can
forget. That is a gorgeous song. Oh my gosh. I love what you just told me behind camera here and on air about he's a throwback.
Yeah, Jimmy, he sings, well, you can hear the type of music that he sings. Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett. He's always been a throwback to another time. And he loves the music so much that he just wants to be able to keep it alive. And he sings all genres. And he started out with Motown. And he loves mm-hmm. David Ruffin and the Temptations.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, so he sings that a lot as well. That's basically. Absolutely. He's an old soul. He relates to a certain time and class of people in entertainment. I mean, like... Frank Sinatra with the Rat Pack, you know, in Vegas. Who cannot love Vegas? We went there and I was embarrassing to my son. Let me tell you, I went there and I'm like, oh, look at that. Oh, that's sparkly. And he just had to call me. I was so excited. I want to go back and I just want to stay for like a couple years. And you know.
I know. Yeah. I know. So you have some upcoming shows coming up locally. Tell us about that.
I have a show at the Timber Bynes Performing Arts Center in Spring Hill. It'll be for 90 minutes. It's on December 2nd at 7 p.m. I'll be singing a variety of oldies, maybe some new pop songs, and just a whole bunch of older throwbacks that maybe I can throw a new fusion into.
Okay. And you opened for some other people, too. I wanted to talk about that. What other stars have you opened up for?
Well, Pia Zadora was one of them.
Oh, she's adorable.
She's this big. Even in heels, standing up to Jimmy, she only comes up to here.
Oh.
But she's a firecracker.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think it was Crystal Gayle.
Okay.
Loretta Lynn's sister.
Wow. Wow.
Tracy Lawrence.
Tracy Lawrence.
And how did you get those? I mean, they just discovered you?
Well, we started really singing professionally in 2014. Started out at my friend's, got hair, Mick Ferrari's hair salon.
Okay.
Then about within a year, we met George Bettinger. And then...
Jim Hendrick.
And Jim Hendrick, one of Frank Sinatra's close friends. And then we went to the Friars Club, and then I've been on kind of a whirlwind ever since. You know, it's not all the time, but when you're going, you know, it's busy. And, you know, the people that you do meet, you know, you always kind of remember something. But, you know, sometimes it's just kind of like a blur because it's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Life goes by fast on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So you write your own music as well.
Yes.
And tell us about that. What kind of music do you write now?
Well, a lot of it is taking my voice and kind of updating it into like a electronic style music.
Okay.
With an old jazzy type funk type of infusion with it. So kind of like if you were to go see a jazz band and have... say like Michael Bublé and maybe like some electronic music to it,
mm-hmm.
and with a band accompanying you, kind of like just a, you know,
a merger of everything.
Yeah.
Is it a new style that you created?
No, it's been around for a while, but it's just merging my voice with my own music that I'll compose through Ableton, computer software, and things like that.
Oh, nice.
But
okay.
But it will be to where I have real instruments in the music to where I can have my band members play it.
And how many band members do you have?
On a show, I'll at least have three.
Three, okay. And so.
But you have sang for an orchestra.
Yeah, 18 piece down at the Blue Parrot in St. Pete.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then do you play an instrument as well?
I can play multiple instruments. You know, it's kind of hard to play all of them at the same time.
Okay.
But the guitar, drums, piano, saxophone.
That's alto sax.
That's it?
Only four? What is the matter with you, Jimmy?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. So we're going to play another song that you wrote.
Yes.
And then maybe you can come back and just do a little a cappella, Frank Sinatra, maybe, for a minute?
We'll see.
I'm trying
time.
To talk him into it. We'll be right back. And what is this song called?
I believe it's either called Undertones or Calling All Worlds.
Okay.
Undertones.
There we go. We'll be right back. Enjoy. He's in the studio with us.
Yay!
Wow, talk about a spa moment and breathing, you know, especially when you look at your Apple Watch and it says breathe, just put that music on. Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, we have a lot of film directors that are listening and watching on Facebook Live as well. And Preston, if you're out there, we got scores for your movie that you're writing right now. And you never know. So like I was just saying, you should get involved in the Tampa Bay Film Society. That's huge in the area. And you too, Fran, we're going to get her there. And Women in Film have a big Christmas party coming up. So these are people that are in the industry that you're saying, hey, I've got music, you know, they may put you in as a singer as well. I've had it happen.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, especially if it's for the community, you know.
And they pay you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that helps too.
That helps. We'll make it a living. Yeah.
Exactly. Is that I know we have a few more minutes left before we cut the show to Fran. And is there anything you'd like to tell the world or anything else that you'd like to talk about?
That's kind of a tough one.
Give him Carl's phone number.
Well, I do have a show at the Timber Pines Performing Arts Center in Spring Hill on December 2nd at 7 o'clock. You could contact Carl Riccitelli for details at 203-815-0953. And I'll be singing a variety of number of things. And, you know, maybe I can... you know, put a smile on your face.
Where do they get tickets for that?
They have to call Carl.
Yeah, they could call Carl.
Give the number again, because maybe they have
it. His number is 203-815-0953.
Oh, Sunburst.
And the...
the Sunburst Convention?
Well, he won the Platinum Award for... He's now the number one Engelbert Tribute Artist in
America. Yay! Yes. That's a hand clap. We need that one. Oh, my God.
So much information.
Oh, wow. Well, I'd like to do some, because I did that with Fran before, and we had working on something else. I'd love to do a commercial for you for some of your upcoming events that I usually charge for. But I'd like to give it, because I think what you're doing... Just give me two tickets.
Okay.
Just put me on the VIP list as a Dawn. But I can run that, and Bobby can cut it for you. And we'll talk about, and, you know, say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm going to be at this place coming up. So I'll run that until the shows.
Okay, great.
Would
sounds
you like
awesome.
That? All right, yeah.
Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you.
And any other last words as a mom manager that, you know, any words of advice for other moms out there?
Stay with it. If you have to believe in it, and you have to love the life.
Right.
I mean, we've had... It doesn't all come at one time. It comes in, like, increments. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your highs, and you're going to have your lows. And if you still love it during your lows, then you're in it to win it.
That's amazing, because a lot of people are, you know, out there and they're asking, you know, do I need an agent or a manager? And if you've got contacts.
I'd be careful with that. There's a lot of fake.
Exactly.
Just do it yourself if you can. I just walked into the mayor's office and I got him and just handed them the CD. They forgot about it for
She's
a couple
amazing.
Months. And they give me a call and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, you know, where do you want him? What do you want him to do? Mm-hmm. And just give us the details and we'll be right there. And so that's where we got the Crystal Gale show. And then, so you got a little bit of...
that is good
word
to advertise
at that point.
You know,
the other thing I just want to say, just because you as a mom, is you're going to have more vested interest in him than an
agent.
And I'm not saying that agents don't do the thing, but an agent will have 10, 20 people that they're doing. She's got one person to concentrate on.
Right.
So she's really going to be like, I'll walk over there. I'll give the CD. I'll go tell them about this. Whereas the agent is divided, like, what do you need? A blonde? Okay, I got five. You know, so it's a different feel.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, because one of my sons was he was back in the Burger King days, and he had an agent in Los Angeles, and I would send out his photos and resumes to all the production companies and casting directors with my agent's name on it. And she said, did I send that out? I said, no, I did. She goes, you should be an agent. Well, I'll end up being a manager later.
I tell you, the best advice I ever got is you never talk bad about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The entertainment business is very small. It will come around to you very quickly.
Yes.
I mean, you can not like each other, but you can work together.
Right.
And actually, sometimes when you don't like each other, it's a very interesting show. I mean, at times, depending on if you're a comedian or what the dynamics of the show is. But everybody's always wonderful. And I'm not an entertainer, but everybody's different. And everybody has their thing. And it's a lot of fun if you can get through the lows.
I gotcha. I know we have 2 minutes left, and I'd love to hear an a cappella. Could you do like a Frank Sinatra or something to close up the show and just let everyone know he's here and he's got some amazing shows coming up?
Fly me to the moon.
Oh my God.
Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. We have 1 minute left. Stay tuned because...
The crowd goes crazy.
Yay! And, Fran, you want to tell them who you are? You got 1 minute. You'll be on next.
Okay. I happen to be Fran Capo, the Guinness Book of World Records fastest talking woman. I'm also an author. I've written 22 books. I'm going to be talking about a couple of my books right now. I'm in a movie called Friend Drift that's coming up on December 3rd, and I hold 9 world records besides being the Guinness Book of World Records fastest talking woman, but we'll talk about the records and everything else when I'm up in a minute.
And we'll end with some Christmas music because it's after Halloween.
Of course.
We'll be right back.
Why go with the tradition?
I know, my husband's like,
thank you. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, you're listening to June East, Mae West's long-lost sister, and this is Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections and Miracle Stories from 8 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. She's so old bad.
Hi, this is Fran Capo, the Guinness Book of World Records fastest talking woman, and you're listening to Dawn Reese, Hollywood Connections and Miracle Stories, 8 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. It is fast and good.
And we're back, and let me introduce Fran. And Fran, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Again, we're on the second half of the hour.
Okay, so, I just did, that's it, it's over. So I do happen to be the Guinness Book of World Records fastest talking woman, clocked at 603.32 words a minute, which is 11 words a second. And people are like, how do you fit that all in? They have a machine called a lexicon compressor that takes the words, slows it down, but doesn't distort it like a tape recorder. Then they have an Olympic timer time you to the hundredth of a second. And then they have a speech analyst analyze every single syllable, because if you miss even one syllable, the entire record is null and void. Oh. So I broke that record twice, but then I hold other records. I did a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro. I did a book signing down by the wreck site of the Titanic. And then I did a TED talk where I did it in 18 minutes, and they redid the entire talk in under a minute. And you know, no pressure there when you see the clock going behind them. Like, yeah,
and you were just interviewed by Mario Lopez.
Yes, on Access Daily. And it's so funny because this is what happened.
Did you meet him in person? Were you there?
Yeah, we were on set together.
Okay,
yes, he is hot. Jimmy's mom is going, he's hot, right? Yes, he's hot in person, too. Everybody asked me that. That was the one thing. I'm doing a show with Mario Lopez. Oh, he's so cute. That's what everybody said. So what happened was there was this paper called The Senior Voice, and right. It was a paper that, you know, they throw it on your driveway, you know, you read it, whatever. So my husband goes, look, there's a paper, Senior Voice. I go, no offense, I'm not going to be reading The Senior Voice. And so then he goes, no, you shouldn't. And then I went, and so I read it. It was a nice paper. So I called up the guy who runs A Senior Voice, this guy, Jim. And I was like, hey, Jim, my name is Fran Capo. I just moved in here. I said, I happen to be the Guinness Book of World Records fastest talking woman. And do you want to do a story on me? So he goes, yeah, I would. So they come over to my house, they interview. And then while he's interviewing me, the guy goes, you know, our humor writer died last year. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. And then he goes, so would you want to be the humor writer? And I said, under two conditions. I get paid and I don't have to write about achy bones and stuff like that. And so he goes, yeah. So then I became the humor columnist for their paper. So because I know, I'm not great at it, but I know social media and things like that, I said, hey, Jim, just out of curiosity, is this paper on the internet? And he goes, yeah, just the cover. I go, what do you mean just the cover? People want to read it. And then that year, you got to have the whole paper. The snowbirds, they go away. They're not coming back to get there from their driveway. You got to put the whole thing up there. So so I said, do you do hashtags? And he goes, hashtags? I go, yeah, you got to do like hashtag Fran Capo, hashtag blah, blah.
Right.
So,
you're right.
Okay. So I tell him and he goes, oh, I'll tell the guy that whatever. So the article comes out. And like 3 weeks later, I get like several phone calls from the producer of hi, this is, you know, I'm not going to say her name, but this is so-and-so from, you know, from Access Hollywood. And we were looking for local celebrities and your name came up because they hashtagged Wiki Watchy Celebrity.
Oh.
So I said, well, I'm glad you found me. I couldn't find me on there. I'm glad you found me. So she said, would you be willing to come to Universal Studios? Because usually they film out in California.
Right.
She said, we're going to be in Orlando, would you be willing to come here? I said, absolutely, no problem. What do you need me to do? Well, we want you to talk about your world records. We want you to talk about all the roller coasters in Disney, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, yeah, sure, okay. So we go down to the studio. I bring a friend of mine, and we go. And, you know, you have the makeup artist, and Mario Lopez is there. And, of course, it's live in Orlando, so there's a, you know, live audience, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, they're trying to get pictures, and he's with his wife, and his two kids are there, and people are coming up and talk to him. He was so sweet to everybody.
Like, I just saw him in a Christmas movie.
He's so sweet. And then when we were on air, you know, they were asking me a lot of different things, so it was really cool, because at one point, and I felt very touched, because I think you're like my new favorite person. I said, yeah, that's for 5 minutes. When the next guest comes on, you're going to say the same thing. But I like you anyway. way, Mario. And I was just joking around with them like that. And then I was teaching them how to fast talk. If you go to my website, Fran Capo, C-A-P-O, like head of the mob, FranCapo.com. If you go to my website, well, because you want to make sure, because people who use the guitar, they say a capo. I go, I'm not a capo, I'm a capo. So FranCapo.com. So if you go there, actually the whole interview with me and Mario is on the homepage. And nice. So then it talks about all my world records. And it was funny because whenever you do a TV show, you know this, like the producer interviews you first, mm-hmm. and then you tell them stories and blah, blah, and they'll go, okay, remember to tell that story. Right. Remember to this. And they tell you. And I always ask, how long is this segment? Because I need to know, do I do the short version or the long version of the story? If it's a 1 minute segment, I can't go into this whole long thing if I have all these other things I want to make sure right. I say. So they said, oh, we're going to ask you this, 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 and then, you know, they have the cards because, you know, they have the teleprompter for the hosts, you right. know, to ask me the questions, but I obviously know my own answers. And so it was funny because I wanted to make sure, because a lot of times when I do TV and radio, people mm-hmm. always want to talk about my world records.
Right.
And I don't mind that because I love talking about them, but I have books that I want to promote.
That's why you're here.
And so, I said, I'll come and do your show as long as you talk about my book, you know, Hopeville, the City of Light, right?
And so you wrote 20 books.
22 books,
wow,
yeah.
22.
So, and I will go into Hopeville in a second, but anyway, so he goes, yeah, we'll do it. Well, in my head, I'm going, they said this was a 6 minute segment. I know I've been talking for like 5 minutes. He's not mentioned in the book. So I go like this. He says something and he goes, and you broke all these world records. Tell us about that other one. I said, I'm going to tell you about the other world record, but of course we're going to mention my book, Hopeville. And he goes, yeah, we're going to do that. I said, well, I just wanted to make sure because now I mentioned it. Now you got to tell everybody what Hopeville is. But okay, what do you want to ask me about that world record? And then I went right back to the world record. But now that I put it out there,
yeah.
you know, that they had to do that. And that's one thing that I've always learned when I do radio and TV. They have their method of where they want to go down, the questions they want to take you. Mm-hmm. But you're on the show because you want to promote, you know, you're performing at some place. Right. Like Jimmy's performing at Timber Pines. I'm going to be performing at Timber Pines also.
Oh, nice.
But not until March 4th. So okay. people aren't going to remember that then. I'll talk about the more recent ones. But anyway, so, yeah. So now, the books. So
yes.
What do you want to know?
I want to know what inspired you first to write your books.
My first book
yes.
ever was not these two books, but I'll talk about these two books. But I'll tell you how I wrote. No, I'm going to first tell you, because we got time. Yeah. I'm going to tell you how I wrote my first book. So what happened was, I was doing stand-up comedy.
Right.
And there was a guy who was a motivational speaker in my comedy audience.
Okay.
So he comes up to me and goes, hey, you ever think of doing speaking engagements? I said, no, what do you have to do for speaking engagements? He goes, well, you have to have a topic and you have to talk. I said, all right, I'll think about the speaking engagement thing. You know. So I'm living in New York at the time. And what happens is I hear actually on a Florida radio show, this guy, Sonny Block, we're going to be having a seminar in New York. If you ever wanted to be a speaker, come down to this seminar. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So I bring a friend and we go, and there's like 500 people in the audience, right? And the guy up front says, how many people here want to be speakers? Split. So everybody raises their hand. Anybody want to get up and say what they want to talk on? Nobody raises their hand. I go, what kind of people are going to be speaking? And they don't raise their hand and they don't talk. So I said, I'll talk. I'll say what I'm going to speak on. So I didn't have a topic. I didn't have anything. I just said, I'm going to speak on what I feel the people will need. He goes, what's that? I go, it's going to depend on the audience. And I'm just making this stuff up. So the guy, of course, is trying to sell this package of like $500 so you learn how to be a speaker or whatever. And he says that he's...
And he's not speaking?
He's the speaker. Oh. He's the speaker up front. And he's trying to lead us 500 sheeple, you know, to buy his thing. So he goes, and I'm going to be performing on the Regent Star next week. And it took me 3 years to get that thing. And he's telling us. At the end of the thing, I go up to him at the end. He goes, wow, you were really brave. You spoke up front, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, well, if you thought I was really brave, why don't you give me that $500 program for nothing?
Oh.
And he goes, well, I can't do that. I go, all right, so give me the name of the booker at the Regent Star. He goes, you don't even have a talk yet. I go, don't you worry about that. Just give me the name of the Regent Star guy. So he gives me the name of the Regent Star guy. And I call up and I go, hi, my name is Fran Capo. I heard that you hire speakers. And this is all I should have thought it out a little bit better. But I said, and they go, yeah, and then I go, so I'm a speaker. And they go, what's your topic? I didn't even have a topic, and I'm calling this person. So I go, well, I have many topics, depending on the audience. I go, who's your audience? And they go, people over 65. I mean, this was like 20 years ago. So yeah. I go like this, I go, shy of a topic, how to have more energy in the later years. Oh. And they go, yeah. I go, yeah. So she books me. So now I get all excited. So I call that guy, Paul Karasek, who was running that seminar that day. I go, hey, Paul, guess what? I got booked on the Regent Star. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, what? It took me 2 years to get there. I go, I don't know what to tell you. You don't have energy for people over 65. I don't know what to tell you. So now I tell, at that time I was dating this guy, and I said, do you want to come on a cruise ship with me? And he goes, like, yeah. I go, separate rooms, just letting you know. And he's like, all right. So Paul goes, how'd you get to bring someone? I go, I just asked. I told him I have to bring the guy. He carries my camera. So now Paul goes, because you did that, I'm doing another seminar, and I want you to be the speaker at the other, one of the speakers at the other seminar. So I go, okay. So I go do my thing. I come back, and I said to Paul, okay, so when is this seminar? He goes, well, the seminar's in like a month, and you have to have 15 minutes together. So I thought he said 15 minutes.
Okay.
He said 50 minutes, okay? So I call him back, and it was 2 weeks before, right. And I go, hey, Paul, I'm all good. Got my 15 minutes. He goes, 15? You got to do 50. I go, 50. He goes, is that a problem? I go, no, it's not a problem. He goes, you got a book? I go, I got to write a book? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, if you have a book, you could sell it at the back of the room. I went,
wow.
I got 2 weeks. I'll write a book.
Wow.
So what I did was I said, I'll just take my talk. I'll divide it into chapters. I'll go to Staples. I said, how many people are going to be there?
The fastest
200.
Writing moment.
And so then, yeah, right? Yeah. And so then I wrote I made up at Staples 200 copies. I went on stage. I did my 50-minute talk. And I went, listen, people, I just wrote this book for you. So you people need to buy this book here. And so everybody, I sold all 200 copies.
Oh, my God.
So I said, this book thing is good. So then every time I had a topic I was doing, I'll go, man, I'll write a book. And that's how the thing started initially with the
Amazing.
Book.
So how did you write it? Did you write it on a computer or
did
you
I was writing out my 50-minute talk.
Okay.
And so as I was doing the 50-minute talk, I would go, okay, so this will be the topic, this will be the chapter title of this. I would write out what I was going to talk, and then I would take it and put it into book form. So I was doing my talk, book form, talk,
wow.
book form, talk, book form. Then I had to think of a cover, and then I went, the hell with that. I don't have time for a cover. It's just going to say how to get publicity without a publicist, and that's it.
Oh, my God.
And so I just put it there. And then, but the way that I got, and then I wound up doing a series that happened in New York, happened in New Jersey, happened in Pennsylvania, all separate books. And the way that I got those books was somebody said, hey, Fran, there's a company. They're writing a book. They're looking for someone to write a book called It Happened in Utah. So I went, Utah? So I called the publisher. I go, listen, no offense, but what happens in Utah? That's going to be a brochure. And so she goes, no, we do all West Coast books. I go, I'm from New York. I'm a stand-up comic. How about you let me write a book called It Happened in New York? She goes, we don't do East Coast books. I go, you should do it because I could sell it on the stage after my comedy routines.
Wow.
So I did it. The book wound up selling, because anytime you sell, people think always in terms of millions of copies of books or whatever, but anytime you sell more than 5,000 copies of a book, they go into second edition.
Ooh.
So I sold not me personally, but you know, sold
right.
5,000 copies of the book. So then they said, well, can you do It Happened in New York City? What about this? And then after I did 3 New York books, I go, what about Jersey? She goes, what about Jersey? I go, I perform in Jersey, too. I think we need It Happened in New Jersey. So then I did It Happened in New Jersey. Then I did It Happened in Pennsylvania. Then I did Myths and Mysteries in New Jersey.
Wow.
So now those were all with a publisher, blah, blah, blah. So then what happened is, now coming up to the two books I have here. Now these, I'm not saying that I don't like my other books, because
right.
I love all the books that I wrote. They're for different purposes. I even wrote a book, The Humor Approach, How to Use Humor in Business Speaking in Everyday Life.
Wow.
And then I wrote another book, How to Get Publicity Without a Publicist, How to Get Yourself on Radio, TV, and in Print.
Oh.
Because I learned about press releases and all the different things in AP and UPI. So
okay,
when
people, that's another show
that's
we got to do.
That's another show. But the thing is, when people ask me questions, and I see a lot of people ask me the same question, I go, boy, this is a lot of repeating. I'm just going to make a book out of it.
Good
and then when
you.
People say that, I go, listen, $20, buy the book. And then it's so much easier, you know.
So how did you get the cover and everything
okay,
put together?
Okay, so for each book, it was a different thing. Like if I knew an artist, I would always have, like I'm not a good artist myself, but I would draw. I want you to put the person here sitting on a pile of books, blah, blah, blah. Now, for these two books, because we have time now for these two books. Okay, so my dad, unfortunately, in 1999, he was dying of cancer. Okay. Now, my dad was always a jokester. He would joke about everything. And I use it in my stand-up act. Okay. And people go, how could you joke about that? I go, my dad was the one who told me the jokes. So, like, he would say, you know, he would go out and buy a chia pet to see his hair would grow back faster, you know, when he had the cancer. And he would say, whatever you do, I don't want you to cremate me and put me in a urinal. I'm like, Dad, no, don't worry. I'm not going to use a urinal. You know, so things like that, because he could get the words right or whatever. So while he had the cancer, he was living with me back at home.
Okay.
And he said, I want you to write a book about my life. And then I'm like, well, my dad had one brother, and this is the book here, Almost the Wise Guy. So okay. My dad had one brother that was a highly decorated police officer, and the other one, sure, and the other one that was in the mob. So he was always torn between the two. So I said to my dad, I said, all right, Dad, we're going to write it on, you know, like tape record it, right? And so he would tell me the stories, and I would do it. And every time that there were little, like, gaps, and he would go, you're the writer, make it up. I go, no, I don't want to make it up. You tell me this. It's a true story. You got to make it up. So we got to do it. So everything in that story is true. Now, the thing was, listen, he knew a lot of people, okay? Uh-huh. And, you know, my dad was like the Rocky, you know, to collect money, you know, beat people up, but whatever. I didn't find that out too much recently, but he did tell me a lot of things that he did. And so I'm writing this thing, and I go, Dad, not for nothing, but are these people dead or alive? I said, I'm going to change the name of the author just to protect the author. Change the name. Yeah. And he goes, don't worry about it. Most of them are dead. I'm like, yeah, but they got brothers and family dead.
Yeah.
So I changed some of the names to protect the author. But I wanted to write it before my dad died. And we knew, I mean, he was down to 98 pounds and stuff. But he had a great sense of humor. We were always joking around. And that's what he taught me. My mom taught me nothing is impossible. And my dad taught me to always find the humor in life, no matter what was going on.
I love it.
And this whole book, even though it is true, it's a comic crime novel, it is talking about the things he did, but in a funny way. Not making fun of crimes, but making fun of situations that he got himself into. Mm. I mean, listen, the way that he started, his first thing, he was an altar boy, right? And a lot of his friends were underage, so he would sneak into the priest's office and steal the confirmation and communion paper so he could change the date on them so they would have proof that they were older. I'm like, he's stealing from a priest, Dad. I don't know. This is not good brownie points.
He's a comedian. He's a natural comedian.
Exactly. Yeah, except he was doing it with crime. Yeah.
That's even more funny.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless he got caught. But then he got caught. He was in jail for a while. And I remember having, as a kid, writing letters to the judge going, he's not a bad guy. I know he did that. You know, blah, 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 blah. And he was in Sing Sing, and we would go visit him. You know, I mean, it was all. And like when my friends would say, where's your dad? I would say, he's making license plates, because that's what he was doing at the time. But anyway, the whole book is a comic crime novel, true stories based on my dad and all the different things that they did, and it's told in his voice. But the four the beginning part of the foreword of the book is me telling the story, kind of how I told you of how I got to write the story about it. And people said they just really like it because it's just an easy read. It's as if somebody was talking.
Have you thought about a movie?
Actually, what happened was, I submitted the book. I went to this thing where, you know, make your book into a movie thing. And I went, and it was interesting because I didn't have it in script form. And supposedly we had it. And it's funny in this business how, you know, a lot of people are very, you know, hey, yeah, but other people are like, I'm not going to give you my contact type of thing. And I remember I was there with the book, and this girl sitting next to me, right before I'm about to see the agent, goes, where's your script? And I'm not nasty to people. I like always encouraging people. I go, I don't have a script. I have a book. And she goes, well, you're supposed to have a script. I said, are you the agent? She goes, no. I go, don't worry about it. I'm just going to present the book. But then it made me really nervous that I didn't have it. So I remember during lunch break calling my mother because she was back in New York. We were in Vegas. And I was like, Mom, I don't have any book. She goes, what do you care about that lady? You don't know if she ever had a movie made. What do you care about that woman?
Right.
And then she goes,
like your mom.
And my mom was so like that. She would always tell me about it. She'd go, Yori, you get back on that stage. Don't you care about these people? Blah, blah, blah. And so I said to Mom, what should I do? And then she goes, well, because my mom was big in Jesus, like, you know, praying to Jesus. And
I
go more directly to God.
I know.
So my mother goes like this to me. She goes,
directly to God.
She goes, pray to Mother Mother Mary. I go, I never prayed to Mother Mary before. So now I'm over there in the bathroom of the place. I'm going, all right, Mother Mary, I mean, I know I've never spoken to you before. Sorry about what happened with your son. I realize I don't talk to him often. But hopefully, girl to girl, you can help me out here. I said, I just have a book. Obviously, you know that because you could see everything. So if you could just help me out. So
that would have been a great live.
Oh, my God.
From that moment on, I have prayed to Mother Mary, and so many times she has come through. I mean, that's a whole other book. And I'm working on another book called Give Me a Sign, All Signs from God and from Mother Mary and from all things. But anyway, so back to this book. So what happened was when I went there, Lionsgate was interested in the book.
Okay.
And there was another company, I don't remember the name of it, but Lionsgate was a big one. The only problem was my dad did not kill people, or at least he didn't tell me that he did, and from everything I've read in the jail records or whatever, he did not. And they said, it's a mob book, you have to make your dad kill some. I said, I am not, this is a true story, and I am not making my dad into a killer.
Yeah.
And they said, well, the only way we're going to take it is if you make it that he, and I said, nope, it's a comic crime novel, and I'll find the right person that wants to produce it that way, because I am not going to ruin his image and make it as if he's, because then I'd start having to tell everybody, no, my dad really didn't kill somebody, you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, no. So that was where it's at, and so that I want to do it. Now, the other book, that's Hopeville, the City of, I mean, this is Almost the Wise Guy.
Yeah.
So I wrote it, finished it, and read it to him before he passed, and he goes, now what? I go, now what, Dad? I just wrote a book for you in 2 weeks. What do you mean, now what? Give me a break.
Now
yeah.
We know where you get
yeah,
it from.
Yeah,
I see that.
I was like, geez, kiddo, give me a break. So now, fast forward, my dad, passes.
Oh, my God, she's a documentary. I need one of my film director friends to follow her around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So now, my dad passes, blah, blah, blah. And so now, like I said, get signs, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't hear voices before. Now, okay. So here I am sleeping, 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if I told the story before, but
no.
Whatever. Okay, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sleeping. And I hear, get up, you got to write a book. And I'm like, oh, this is a weird dream.
It's like you're almost sleeping.
Yeah, but I was sleeping.
Right.
I was actually sleeping.
Okay.
And in my dream, I hear this. So I'm going, wow, this is a really weird dream. And the voice is being persistent. And I can't tell you whether it was a male or female voice. And there was no physical thing attached to it. And it just said, get up. You got to write this book. So now I get up. I turn the lights on. I don't see anything. I go back to sleep. And it says, get up. So now I turn it on. And now I hear the voice. And I'm awake. And I go, okay, this is a little weird. I'm not sure what you want. I said, I'm in the middle of writing another book, Adrenaline Adventures. So I don't know what you're talking about. They go, write this name down. Like, not a command, but, like, do this, you know? So as a writer, you always have a pen and paper at your nightstand. And as a musician, I'm sure you do, as when you come up with a lyric or something. So I took the pen and paper and I wrote Hopeville, which is the name of this book, Hopeville, the City of Light. So now, let me just go back on one thing with the Almost the Wise Guy thing. So this cover, actually, I found that my dad belonged to the Lexington Avenue Social Club, which was where all the mobsters hung out. So I found out where that building was in Manhattan, and I went down there, took pictures, then gave the picture to the artist, found out what kind of car my dad drove, what his license plate was, and we had a poodle, so I put it on the cover.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Then I hired someone to do a picture of my dad with the car in front of the Lexington Avenue Club. So it was the actual club. Now, going back to Hopeville.
Wow.
Yeah, you can follow me, people, right? Yeah, I'm sure you can. Okay, so if that, just rewind. Okay, so anyway, so what happens is, and now I write down the name of the book, Hopeville, the City of Light, and the voice says to me, this book will change people's lives. And I go, all right, but no offense, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I got to take my mother to work and my kid to school, so I'll go back to sleep. So I say to the voice, talk to you later. And I just like go to sleep. So now the next morning I get up, I take my kid to school, my mom to work, and I have to get my car fixed. So I'm bringing my computer because I'm working on my other book, Adrenaline Adventures.
Right.
I forget about this thing, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm in there. I have never in my entire life had writer's block. I could say I'm going to write and I could write for 7 hours straight. Never have writer's block because I don't edit myself as I'm writing. I just allow it to pour out and I figure I'll go back later, add the comedy, add whatever. I don't need to worry about it. Just get it to the page. So what happens is I go to this guy's garage and I go, can I type my book in the back? And he goes, and I go to type on the keyboard the words, the chapter, the shark chapter I'm writing about Adrenaline Adventures. And my fingers literally freeze, like flash freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, this is really weird. I've never had this. So I try to do it again, and I
Nothing. So I go, oh my God, I'm going to be here for 3 hours while they fix the car. I better figure out something. So I said, what was the name of that book? And I was like, oh yeah, I have the paper. And I looked at it and I went, Hopeville, the City of Light. And for the next 3 hours, I do not remember one word. I remember typing the word the end. Mm-hmm. I remember the guy going, Fran, your car is ready. And that was weird. I go, what was weird? He goes, you didn't go to the bathroom. You didn't look like you were breathing. You didn't take a drink of water. You look like a zombie typing. I said, I think I wrote a book. He goes, how do you not know? I go, I can't tell you one word in that book.
Wow.
So I left it. And I went back to writing my other book. And then what happened was, when I went back and read it, it was this really cool story about four people, a little old lady who, an old man who wants to give wisdom, but because he's old, nobody wants to listen, a kid who's getting bullied, a single mom who's holding down three jobs, and a successful businessman who never found love because he's trying to do it. They all are frustrated with their lives. On one night, they pray, an angel of light appears to all of them and tells them each the simple thing you have to change in your life to make it a success. So the book, actually, when I pulled it out afterwards, because I didn't want to change one word of what was channeled to me, contains the 44 Secrets of Happiness.
Oh my gosh.
You have
gosh.
A spiritual guide in your hand.
You sure do.
Yeah.
You sure do. Yeah, Fran, I'm just in awe of you. And I know we have two, but what are you doing next week?
Wait, is that like, where am I performing next week?
No, like, can you come back?
I don't know my schedule, but I'll let you know afterwards.
If not,
but I will just let you know, yes. I am doing two shows, Fran Capo and Elliot Smith, and we're doing a show that's on November 20th at 7 p.m. You know what? Just go to my website, francapo.com. Everything is on the website. You don't have to ask me. Just go to the website, FRANCAPO, like head of the mob, francapo.com. And then you can find all this stuff there, and I don't have to tell you.
Can you give my clever Fran and my major amazing guest today, and we'll see. She's gonna come back more often when she's in town as well. And you were invited back as well with more songs than Frank Sinatra.
Thank you.
And I'm Dawn Reese, and I just want to thank Soap This for having me interview all the amazing soap opera stars from Days of Our Lives on Saturday. God bless. Remember, give God all the glory and honor in your life, and watch things happen. We'll see you next week.
WTAM Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. It is a wrenching morning for victims' loved ones attending the start of a two-day sentencing hearing for the Parkland, Florida school shooter. Athletic director Chris Hickson's widow, Debbie, has just addressed the gunman.
There is no mitigating circumstance that will ever outweigh